Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It is Tuesday, March 4th. It's time to get in the weeds. I'm going to try to get through this show, SP3. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing a lot better than my colleague here. I feel for you. So that is why I will do a lot of the talking on today's show to help you get you already exceeded your word amount on yesterday's great edition of the Monday Takeover over on the main channel. You and Joel had a great show over there. Great guests from Steve from TSN on there. So I'm going to be taking the man position and taking the baton and holding it down. Because this is now officially the SP3 victory lap edition of In the Weeds. Because I came on here on my day off on Friday to basically shut down Joel Pearl, who is always wrong, as I had my headline on Friday when I came on here. You know, you had the great and insightful Adrian Hernandez, who saw the same things, who saw the writing on the wall, similar to I did, not as beautiful as the writing on my wall by Harlem and Sydney, you know, the great work that I got behind me. But the writing was on the wall for one of the landmark all-time great heel turns that we saw on Saturday. So yes, I am here for my victory lap for that. I am also here for my victory lap because the Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers is the number 2 seed in the Western Conference. We coming for you, Jeremy. We coming for you, OKC Thunder. OKC, KFC, GSC, GPS, GSP. It don't matter. Lakers in 5. Lakers in 5. I'm taking the Lakers in 5, ladies and gentlemen. But yes. It's in the weeds. We got a lot to talk about coming off the heels of Elimination Chamber, coming off the heels of a very electric edition of Monday Night Raw last night in Buffalo, New York, with one of the more shocking title changes that we see on the road to WrestleMania. And all it took was Dwayne The Rock Johnson waking Paul Levesque's ass up, and now we're in WrestleMania season, and it's full speed ahead. The twist and the turn, the GPS, and we get the location, and we get there. We will get there, guys. And it's a great show. We hit live attendance gates and all that stuff. But you guys on the internet, is it WrestleMania season now? Yes, I read the internet, folks. I read the internet, so I'll put my dick on the table, and I'll say that I am Triple H, and I am the Booker of the Year, so put some respect on my name. And I'm going to put some respect on his name. I'm not going to take 23 seconds to pin him like WrestleMania 19. Triple H, thank you, because Saturday was exciting, last night was exciting, and WrestleMania season is here, and it's Revolution Week. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. I'm not tribalistic at all. I think that WWE is rocking and rolling. I thought Elimination Chamber was one of the best shows that Triple H has produced, probably the best show since WrestleMania 40 for him. I thought that Monday Night Raw was another exciting addition. I said last week that last week's Monday Night Raw was the best edition on Netflix. Maybe this one topped that one. So we're on a good streak so far here. Even Friday Night SmackDown, it went from a 2.4 on Cage Match for the Friday that The Rock returned to a 6 out of 10. Not that much better, but it was at least better than the all-time worst show that we got. So sometimes these wrestling bookers need all-time bad shows to wake the hell up And that's what Triple H has been doing. And AEW is rocking and rolling. They've had a good month of February heading into Revolution. Hopefully we get a great show tomorrow to cap off the builds to Revolution. And Revolution has an all-time great card with not a lot of filler, all thriller. It's going to be a great show on Sunday night. We had a great show Saturday night. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. And it's a great time to be SP3 because SP3, hashtag SP3. Always right. Jeremy, you got all the coughing out your system? I tried to go a good 5 minutes there for you.
Is Anthony Davis a top five MVP candidate?
Well, you know who is. You know who is the top five MVP candidate? Because we had this discussion on FMC, and I'm sick and tired of it. Tom Brady, yeah, he won a Super Bowl. But the greatest 40-year-old basketball player, the greatest 40-year-old athlete of all time, LeBron James, 26-8-8 since he turned 40 years old. He's averaging 51% from the field, 39% from three. He is putting up MVP numbers at 40 years old. 40 years old. Tom Brady played what? 16, 15 games when he was 40 years old. This man has played triple of that already. And we're not even at the end of the season. LeBron James, top five MVP once again. J.J. Redick, top two coach of the year. Dorian Finneas-Smith, if they had an X factor of the year, Dorian Finneas-Smith and that trade to get Dorian Finneas-Smith might go down as the catalyst. At all, it was like the domino effect. It was that domino flipped over, and then Rob Pelinka said, "Not the drones that you want, Nico Harrison. These are not the drones that you want." He Jedi mind tricked him like he was Obi-Wan Kenobi, and said, "Let me get Luka Doncic. Let me get some Luka Doncic in the soul. Luka Doncic in the Los Angeles Lakers." And Luka Doncic is having a great time. He said they asked him on what was it, Sunday? They asked him on Sunday. They was like, how you liking playing for the Los Angeles Lakers and playing in Crypto.com Arena? He said, hell yeah, I love it here. His father is in the crowd, whooping it up. His father looked like he had more fun at that one Laker game than he ever did when he was with the Dallas Mavericks. Luka's family is happy. I'm happy. Luka's happy. LeBron's happy. J.J. Redick, you guys tried to call him a podcaster, tried to say he wasn't ready to be a coach. I watched Winning Time. Pat Riley, he was auditioning to be a commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers before they put him on as an assistant coach, and then he became one of the greatest coaches of all time. J.J. Redick was a commentator, he was an analyst, he was a podcaster, and now he is coach of the year.
He's still
all gas, no breaks. Los Angeles Lakers, the best team in the NBA.
I think your internet is unhappy with your Los Angeles Lakers love.
Yeah, they keep cutting me off. They're saying, okay, fairly good now. I'm fairly good now, but. Yes, okay. The Los Angeles Lakers, yada-da, mean, best team in the NBA right now. Best team since January 15th. We are 18-4, 18 of the last 22. And please, guys, please, if this is your first time watching me on a podcast in any form, saying, telling me to stop sucking up to the Lakers is just going to make me go longer. I'm just warning y'all. Don't do it to yourself. If you don't want to hear me talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, then let me get through my diatribe. Don't try to stop me because then it just gets longer. I'll go into sermon mode on your asses. Don't let me do it. Don't let me do it. The best team in the NBA right now. I am talking all factual evidence. Dorian Finneas-Smith gives us a defensive rating of 102 when he is not on the court. He gives us a defensive rating of 108 when he's not there. That is a difference maker. I said he's the domino that dropped first before we got Luka Doncic. And I know that gets y'all so upset. For all you Laker haters, I know that gets you so upset. You're like, why do the Lakers have Luka Doncic? It's the rich getting richer. Welcome to America! The rich get richer all the time! sir.
You good? Oh.
I got more, but I'm
gonna say I know you have more. I know you have more. I hope y'all get the 2 seed. I do. I hope you get the 2 seed.
Y'all are only competition. Y'all are only competition, but I think for the fans of this show, the fans of FIFA, I think that's what we need. They need a Lakers Thunder Western Conference Finals.
No, they don't. No,
yes, they don't. Yes, they do.
Here's how that's gonna go. I'm gonna sit here depressed, and you're gonna be like that. So, and even if we win, I'm gonna sit here depressed. I'm gonna be like, okay, cool. Did we win 4? And you know what happens if we win 4? If the Thunder do win the series, I'm gonna say it was a good series, and now hopefully we can win a title. And you're gonna be like that. It's not gonna be entertaining because I take sports too serious for it to be entertaining. I take my
and I don't take it serious at all
to be entertaining. So it's not going to be good. Like, I just told you how it's going to go. You're going to get a lot more of that version of SB3, especially if the Lakers are winning, and you're going to get a very depressed, probably running from the grind Jeremy if the Thunder are losing. And if we win, it's not going to be entertaining because I'm not going to brag and be over the top. I'm just going to be, it was a good series. We had a hard fought win. Like, the Lakers played very well. I don't go over the top with my praise. So it's not going to be entertaining radio. It'll be more entertaining if we don't play, because then I'll probably be a little bit more over the top. Maybe, probably not, but it's not going to be that entertaining.
It's going to be. I'm going to find it entertaining, folks. It's going to be entertaining for me. But yes, we got a lot to discuss in the wrestling world. So I'll stop the NBA talk for now. But I love how we got Phoenix Suns fans in the chat talking about Lakers fans. It's funny to me. Shock, you got no hill to stand on. You're dying on the hill of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. How you put together two guys averaging 25 points a game? Y'all can't even make. Y'all don't even look like you're going to make the playoffs.
I don't think the Suns are going to make the playoffs unless Dallas, with this Kyrie injury, completely falls out. The Suns are awful, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you about Phoenix. They're 2-8 in their last 10. Kevin Durant spent more time arguing. They're talking about blowing it up. Well, they should have done that at the deadline, but Durant didn't want to move. So they didn't really have a choice. And they couldn't move Beal. They couldn't find a way to move him. So there is no blowing it up this season. They're at where they're at this season. This season has been miserable for Suns fans. So sorry that Kevin Durant wants to spend more time arguing on Twitter and defending himself on Twitter than, you know, helping his team win basketball games. It's not all his fault, though. It's his fault when they lose, but when they win, Booker gets all the credit. So Kevin Durant, it's not his fault. He gets no credit. He gets all the blame. So we can't blame Kevin Durant for anything. It's a team game. The team wins and loses together. They're doing a lot of losing right now. He's on the team.
Oh, man. What was it? Zeno Hour? I've seen you talking crap about my Lakers in the chat. You shouldn't have even admitted that you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan. Why'd you admit that? I would have never known. I would have had nothing to say back to you. But you telling me now? Oh, my God. Joel Embiid? Load management? Pandemic P? Load management on his podcast? God damn. It's tough out here. Zeno Hour and A-Shock, y'all have complete permission to hate on the Lakers. Because I understand. So when the Lakers were down bad, the solace that I got was hating on other teams that were successful. So I understand. Go ahead. Hate on us. Feel free, because I feel bad for y'all.
Guys, if you're here and you're 14 minutes into the show and you've heard nothing but basketball talk, as we typically do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, leave us a thumbs up on the video. That helps us out. Subscribe to the channel. That helps us out. Check out all the other shows we got going on. If you're a new viewer from the main channel yesterday, welcome. We do this show every single day, every single weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern. It is myself, Joel Pearl, on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Myself and SP3 on Tuesday and Thursday. I promise you, I am not this sick on every single show. It has been a rough weekend for myself, so I'm very low energy right now. And I hate being low energy, especially coming off the week that we've had, the weekend that we had in wrestling, and a great Monday Night Raw last night. And what's looking to be a very good, probably great in-ring AEW Revolution. So I don't like that I feel this low energy, but I feel this low energy. Guys, leave a super chat.
It's all right, bro. You can't everybody can't be like high energy all the time, especially when you're sick, man. We understand. But that's why you have some good tag team partners. You got Joel, like you said, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You got SP3 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You got Steven Jensen on Thursday evening on the spotlight. And then you got the best partner of them all, the in the weeds general manager who hit me up about a half an hour ago to say that she had the most sacrilegious take ever. Let me just say, the Indouise general manager is awesome. She's
awesome. I don't even know what this is.
Oh my god, you want me to read? I'll read it.
I hope we're not blowing up our spot here.
No. It's just the Indouise general manager says, I'm going to give you an apparent sacrilegious take. The Cena turn doesn't feel huge to me. Because I checked out of wrestling shortly after his arrival. I do remember the spinner title and despising it, but I didn't check back in almost 15 years. And basically, the general manager summed it up by saying, my brain characterized him as a heel already.
Yeah, she told me this.
Popped me so much.
She told me this on Saturday. She's like, he's always been a heel to me. The crowd booed him every time I watch. So he's always been a heel. I was like, okay. That's fair. So, yeah, she was not moved by this heel turn. My wife only cares about like Sami Zayn's health. That's it. Like that's what she cared most about for Elimination Chamber. It was Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. She wants all the nice things, all the good things for Sami Zayn and Eddie Kingston. Those are the two people where if like Sami Zayn, Eddie Kingston aren't involved and winning, that's the only time she actually like gets upset about anything else. She's like, yeah sure, I guess that happened anyway. What's Sami Zayn doing? That's it.
That's hilarious, because that's similar to my missus, her reaction to stuff. She did react to, because I sent her the link. I was up late watching Elimination Chamber live. She was already asleep with the kids, so I sent her the link for it, so when she woke up she would see it. And even she reacted to it, because she stopped watching around like 1999, but she did come back in like the early 2010s. So she came back to John Cena being like the number one baby face, even though he got like kind of a polarizing reaction to it. But it was, she reacted well to it. She was going in on me, because she loves to troll me or make fun of me. She was like, you're acting like you booked it yourself. I was like, I did though. Like I went on multiple platforms. Triple H watches me. You don't know this. He gets his ideas from me. I appreciate him for taking my ideas. I just would appreciate if he sent me a check in the mail. Maybe he doesn't know I'm in the UK. Maybe the check is in the mail when I go back home. But all fair. I'm very happy to be right. I'm very happy to be on here today. I do want to like see if I can reboot my internet to see if it's better, but I don't want to leave you alone.
I'll be okay. I'll
be good. All right. Let me just reboot it, take it off, and then take it back in, and then let's see what happens. Hold down the fort.
All right, guys, leave a super chat, get your question, comment, statement read on the air. That always helps us out. We appreciate all the support everyone has for the channel and for this show specifically, but also all the other shows we have on the channel, like Coexisting, like The Spotlight, and like Wrestling Made Me Cry. Plenty of content here on this channel. So leave a super chat. That goes a long way. Again, subscribe if you haven't. Leave a thumbs up on the video if you haven't. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or however you get your podcast, you can leave us a good review on there, because that helps as well. King Potato asking about Love is Blind. season 8 so far. So we were going to do our reality show, myself, SP3, and our pal Cher Delaware. We were going to do our reality show this past weekend, but schedules got mixed up. Then I got sick. Our pal Cher Delaware wasn't feeling well either, so we pushed that back. This season sucks. It's an awful season. I messaged in the group chat. I was like, just skip to episode 11, and then you only got to watch the first half of episode 11. The rest of it is trash. Like, the mixer was the only good thing about this entire season. That's it. The rest of the season, nothing. I've had no interest in it. I think I've fallen asleep out of, like, the 12 episodes. I've probably fallen asleep during half of them. It's been so boring with nothing happening. The mixer was the only good thing. When Dave finally was like, I think we should end things, but he didn't want to do it. And then he admitted he didn't want to do it. And then Molly fucking backhanded that little bitch and reamed his ass out. I was like, hell yeah, Molly. And then he went crying drunk as hell to Lauren to try to fix things. He was so fucking sloshed on there. And I was happy Lauren was like, yeah, I don't think so, buddy. And then when Molly and Lauren showed up together to the first wedding, I forget who the first
yes.
was, but they showed up. I was like, hell yeah. I hope they give them a reality show. Let them just go around and start tearing down all these terrible men. That's what we need. But I was so happy that Molly did not like go running back to Dave or anything. And she saw through his bullshit and was like, nah, you kind of suck, dude. You didn't stand up for her. Like, you didn't try to make things right. I was like, yeah, get his ass, Molly. And then they just completely cut off like the Allison, Mason, Madison. Like, they're all like, they're all yeah. there and they're talking and they're like, yeah, this here's what happened. And they explained it. And then we never saw them interact. You're telling me they didn't interact once?
I was like, how do you not as producers make them interact? Why do you not make them interact? Madison just ripped Alex to shreds, said that Alex was the one who broke up their relationship in the pod. Then he got his phone and saw her on social media. It's like, oh my gosh, she's hot. And then tried to hit her up to meet her at the airport and meets her at the airport and acts like an absolute creep. And now he's saying, oh, F Mason. I don't care about Mason being two-faced and everything because he sees that the person he was talking to was hot now. Oh my God, worthless. And I said he fumbled. I said he fumbled it. He fumbled the bag because he won the whole love triangle. He won her. He won the love triangle. And then he had the ball on the 1 yard line, and then he just fumbled it. I was like, what the hell? And then to find out he tried to recover the fumble and fumbled it yet again and came off like a creeper.
The way, like, the lack of follow-up on that, I was so excited. I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to get some drama here. Let's go. Nothing. Just nothing. The whole – my wife had a good idea of, like, especially for this season, she was like, they got to just send all these couples to Mexico. I don't care if they get together. Just send them all there and just start some shit. Like, just go ahead and immediately – like, even if they don't end up together, like, the people that break up, you know, if there's, like, a love triangle – and the guy has to pick one of the two girls and the other girl doesn't end up with anybody, send that girl to Mexico anyway. Just have her be there. Have her be when they all meet each other. It's like, oh, where's your partner? I have.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Partner, I'm just here on a free vacation. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Nice to meet you. I'm the one you didn't pick. What's up? Maybe you'll choke on your EpiPen now that I'm here. That's what we need, man. Get some real drama going. But
yeah, this season is all time worst Love is Blind. All time worst reality television series season. Like it's in that lexicon of that, like all time bad.
He's picked boring ass white people from Minnesota. Like Minnesota ain't got nothing going on. They ain't dramatic. They're just kind of ho hum people. No offense to them, but they just are. I know. I think next season's like Ohio. We're fucking dumb as hell in Ohio. You're gonna get some real stupid people from this area. That's just fair. Nothing.
I'd rather stupid people than boring.
Yeah, hopefully the stupidness leads to some drama, because you know I see some good reality drama. Temptation Island's back next week. That's what I'm looking forward to, because this has been an awful season of Love is Blind. So yeah, there you go.
People in the chat talking about my favorite show, which is returning, Daredevil. Can't wait for that. Daredevil Reborn.
Oh, is that coming back?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm hyped. I'm hyped for Daredevil Reborn. Daredevil was the best Netflix show, including Love is Blind. Best Netflix show ever.
How many seasons did it last? Two, three?
Three seasons of Daredevil, but he was also in Defenders. So It's like three and a half.
I can't remember if I watched all three seasons. I definitely watched the first two. I'm sure if I go back and like relook at what happened, maybe I can get caught up and remember things. I definitely watched the first two of Daredevil.
Well, you gotta watch three. Three is the best season.
Yeah, I might have watched three. My memory on this stuff sucks. Like it's awful. So if I watch like the recap of things, like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, all that stuff happened. But I definitely know I watched at least the first two. I may have watched the third. I just can't remember. I might watch Daredevil. I don't know. I got so many on my thing on my list that like I kind of want to watch, but then I don't commit to anything. And especially this week, like I've been trying to go to bed at a decent hour, and I haven't slept at all because I've just been coughing throughout the night. So just it's miserable sleeping time for me. We'll see. All right. Wrestling. Everybody. Wrestling, allegedly. No wrestling to start this show on Monday Night Raw. No wrestling at all. Instead, CM Punk comes out and he's here to dress his enemies. And because he's CM Punk, he's got a lot of them. He says, throw me a name. Tell me who you want to talk about. I thought they were kind of cowardly to throw him like The Rock and John Cena and then Seth Rollins. You know, somebody in the front row should have been like, Hangman Page, Young Bucks,
Jack Perry.
Yeah, talk about them. Instead, he goes on The Rock, calls him a bald bitch, bald fraud, says he doesn't wear a fake title.
No, bald fraud. Bald fraud.
Yeah. He didn't call him a bitch. Says he doesn't wear a fake title. I guess we're just retconning the real world's championship, which was kind of fake. I mean, it wasn't the most real title in the world. Still the champion, technically. So he doesn't wear no fake title. And then he calls out John Cena. Said, you've been telling all this bullshit for 20 years, and I've been calling you out for 20 years, and now everyone sees the truth. He says he's going to, when he sees these bald frauds, he's going to make a wish that they wish they didn't meet him, and he's going to break them and destroy them. Turns the attention to Seth Rollins. Says, Becky Lynch, come get your man. He's going to put him in the wheelchair the next time you see him. And then Seth comes out. They just start throwing. This ruled. They were just throwing hands right off the bat. Threw hands all around the aisle. Threw hands all around ringside. Threw hands to the crowd. Threw hands backstage. My lovely wife has brought me tea so I can hopefully feel better. Threw hands backstage. And then finally, we got an announced steel cage match next week at Madison Square Garden. It seems like the plan is Roman Reigns is going to get in here, and that's going to be the triple threat at WrestleMania. Man, I don't know if Roman's needed right now. Like, this felt like, yeah, this is a WrestleMania match all on its own. What are we doing a cage match next week for? Just let these guys continue to tear each other until WrestleMania. What did you think of this overall segment and then the cage match next week, SP3?
I think that this was CM Punk's best promo since his WWE return. I originally thought his best promo was the two promos that he did before the Hell in a Cell. The first one after he got attacked when Drew broke the beads, the friendship bracelet, and he cut that promo, I think like 2 weeks following. And then the back and forth promo that they had inside the cell the week before the Hell in a Cell matchup. But this one was so much of that pipe bomb energy it was in him in this one, because you know, out of everyone in WWE, no one's had has had a bigger or longer resentment of both The Rock and John Cena than CM Punk. He was the perfect person to follow up what was an all-timer heel turn by John Cena at Elimination Chamber and the alliance with The Rock, the two-man Hollywood power trip, as I called it on Friday. That those two guys, he was the perfect person to have the first promo after it and to react to it. And I thought that the WWE did an excellent job of laying out and having reactions from different superstars in regards to the John Cena return. And I thought, if you're not going to have John Cena or The Rock on this episode, or your Cody Rhodes, then CM Punk was the perfect person to have that first promo, because him going after The Rock, calling him a ball fraud, calling him out for not loving the business as much as he does, or as much as he says he does, and just calling it, just ripping him to shreds, then moving on to John Cena talking about how he was desperate in the Elimination Chamber, that he didn't give up. Because I was like, man, they booked CM Punk stronger than the winner of the matchup at the end of the Elimination Chamber, because I was like, Punk kicked out of two AAs, he kicked out of the Stomp, he kicked out of a Pedigreed. I was like, yo, they, and then he didn't give up at the end. But I like how he played that out, him not giving up and Cena giving up on himself, and that he told everybody for years that he's been selling these fans, selling these kids that bullshit. And I love him just saying the line, like, this is the Attitude Era 2.0. We know at this point, between Saturday with Cody saying go f- yourself, and then CM Punk dropping the bullshit line here, I was like, let's go. It got the crowd fired up and into the promo. And like you said, that last line of, you know, when I see those bald frauds, Cena and The Rock, they will make a wish that they never met me again. And then I love how he switched it to the kayfabe of his rivalry with Seth Rollins, and the fact that Rollins was the one who cost him in the Elimination Chamber, and calling out Becky Lynch, man, you summoned the ultimate version of Becky Lynch, not the man, not big time Bex, Twitter fingers Bex. Oh man, Twitter fingers Bex was at it. I was like, God damn, Becky.
She deleted the tweet. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah.
I did notice that.
Yeah, so she tweeted.
I screenshotted it immediately because I was like, this ain't going to be up for long. We all know this. Wait, CM Punk. This ain't going to be up for long. I screenshotted it.
Do you have it? Can you send it to me?
So yeah, I'll send it to you right now. I'll send it to you right now.
So for those that missed it, she did tweet referencing, as you know, CM Punk was told Becky Lynch, or come get your man, because I'll put him in a wheelchair. So Becky responded on Twitter. I don't know how long the tweet was actually up. I feel like it was up for a good,
maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like it was up for like a good half hour or so. But she responded, making reference to CM Punk and Roxanne Perez, and how she doesn't need to come get her man, because, you know, her man, or somebody else's man, is kind of wearing the same gear as CM Punk was at Elimination Chamber. So SP3 is going to send me that, and I'll post that up here in a second. But yeah, Twitter fingers Becky Lynch is amazing, because when she was on a roll into the Charlotte feud, or Charlotte and Ronda, like, that was...
It was Ronda originally. Ronda really got Twitter, like, because I think that with Charlotte, it was more of like keeping it kayfabe for the most part. It was Ronda, the Ronda feud, that started even before her getting punched in the face by Nia Jax, before the Survivor Series matchup. As soon as they were the two champions coming out of Evolution, that's when started their Twitter back and forth. And we all know Ronda Rousey can be hit or miss, but sometimes she's got her hits on social media. But Becky just completely exposed that Ronda was not ready. Ronda was not ready for Twitter fingers Bex.
So there's the Becky tweet right there, is making reference to, yeah, I don't think I'm the one who needs to come get my man. So there you go. She deleted it, which I understand why. I mean, you know, it's a good shot to take, but I do think it's a little lame that people are like, oh, what's CM Punk doing with Roxanne? Like, it's so dumb. They're like, do y'all not have male, female, like friends or anything? Like, what are we talking about here? So I understand why she deleted it. She probably thought like, yeah, it might have gone a little too far on that one. So I get it. She's not trying to ruin relationships or anything like that. So, but it was a good tweet for her.
It was. It popped me. It popped me for sure, man. I was like, oh man, this is the GOAT, my good friend Rebecca Quinn. Thank you, Rebecca.
I don't know. I don't remember if I've told this story. I feel like I have, but I'll tell it here. Like, so I started writing news for Fightful in 2018. Like September 2018 is when I started doing like a lot of the news stuff. And so we're going to WrestleMania 2019. That was Twitter Becky and Ronda and Charlotte and everything. And I wrote a headline of Becky Lynch, and I think it was on one of her tweets. And she'd already been announced for the main event of WrestleMania. Like all of that was confirmed and everything. And she quote tweeted the headline and just like put over like the headline and like put over herself as well. And that was the first time that I was like, oh shit, we get traction with this stuff. Like wrestlers notice this stuff. Like we got to be very careful with what we say in headlines and how we frame stuff, because the main event of WrestleMania is taking notice to a headline that I just wrote. And like ever since then, I've always just liked Becky because I'm like, oh, cool. She notices this work that I have done. So yeah, that's my only interaction with Becky Lynch. And that's not even a real interaction, but that's where I first noticed of like, oh yeah, wrestlers are kind of paying attention to this kind of stuff. And now it's even more prevalent than then. Like now so many wrestlers quote tweet stuff and interact with stuff to where that feels like a distant memory. But you know, from like 2018, like the end of the year and even the first half of the first quarter of 2019, like there wasn't a ton of interaction with a lot of these headlines, but that was the first big one. And I like, that's the biggest name as you're going to get at the time. And she quote tweeted, I was like, oh shit, like this is cool. But also now like I got to pay attention to what I say and how I frame headlines. I've had wrestlers mad at headlines before. It's fine. Most of it gets smoothed over pretty quickly. And sometimes good relationships come out of it. I don't know if I've told the Gargano story. I feel like I have, but oh, maybe. You don't know the Gargano story?
I don't, okay. I don't know the Gargano story personally.
So, and the statute of limitations is fine on this headline. I don't feel like anybody's mad about it at this point. So I wrote this article, Gargano's talking, and it was when Candace, I don't remember if Candace was pregnant at the time. But Gargano was talking of like, oh, if I could get pregnant, I would do that for her so she could continue to wrestle. And like, I thought it was a cute, like love headline, like, you know, I love love. I was like, oh, cool. Johnny Gargano wishes he could get pregnant so Candice LeRae would continue to wrestle. Like he would take getting pregnant over like winning the Intercontinental title was something that was like the headline that I wrote. I was like, oh, this is a cute little headline. And like Gargano was like upset about it of like, this is misrepresented or whatever. I was like, I thought it was cute. I wasn't trying to like, my intention was not to be like, hey, look at this guy. He wants to get pregnant so his wife can keep wrestling. What, you know, like what a noble guy he is. Or, oh, he can't get pregnant, so he's saying this, but he knows he can't. So that's the only, like, I was not trying to, I had no ill intent with it. And Gargano, you know, wrestlers, they see a lot of these headlines. They react a lot of different ways. They don't always know intention. And some of them, not saying I always do it, but certainly there's enough headlines out there where it's like, what's the intention behind this headline? You know what I mean? So I messaged Gargano. I was like, hey, this is what I was trying to convey. I think it's really cute. I think it's really sweet. I love love. Like, I think you and Candace are great. So, you know, this is what I was going for here. He's like, oh, no worries. Like, sometimes I just see this stuff and I don't know. I was like, I completely get it. Like, that's, I was not trying to do it. So it was fine. We ended up squashing everything. But yeah, there's been a few where people have reached out to me or Sean and been like, what's going on here? And I'm just like, here's what I was trying to go for. Sorry if it came off wrong. Like, my intention is never to, you know, make people mad. I've made people mad. That's never my intention.
You can't control those type of things. Yeah. Becky's on now on my bucket list of someone I would love to kind of meet and interview in person. So I could be like, I'm the guy who wrote the two articles that you put over on Sports Illustrated with her making my top 20 greatest WWE wrestlers of all time. And then being number one on the 10 greatest WWE women's wrestlers of all time. Because I want to tell her my story of like being a fan of wrestling and my relationship toward her, because I don't think I've said it on this channel, but people who followed me for a while when I was over on like True Heel Heat, I had a very well documented rivalry against Becky Lynch. Like, I've always been like, before that though, like I was a big Becky Lynch fan when she was like kind of not being featured and not being pushed. Like, I was very much, I celebrated her winning the SmackDown Women's Championship, being the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion, but I didn't like how she was kind of booked after that, and I was really rooting for her to, you know, turn heel at SummerSlam 2018. But I was also part of the crowd and the SmackDown following SummerSlam 2018 that basically cheered her, like not accepting that heel turn and cheering her in Brooklyn. I was in that crowd. But when she started her rivalry with Ronda Rousey, I was a big Ronda Rousey supporter because I realized what Ronda Rousey could do as far as putting eyes in the spotlight on the women's division. Like, when Ronda Rousey, before she came to WWE at Royal Rumble 2018, I was big into like, oh, Ronda's going to come. She's going to be in the Rumble. Ronda's going to come and they're going to get the WrestleMania main event that they've been looking for and stuff like that, to the point that we went to WrestleMania 34 and we went to the Raw after, and we had a sign that Jonathan Coachman put on his Twitter of the road to Ronda Mania, 364 days away. We had that sign made by our very own Baby Seth for True Heel Heat. We made that and we had that sign up, and Coachman put it on his Twitter, and like, we were into that. We recalled that Ronda was going to main event WrestleMania 35, but like, when Becky Lynch came up, and you know, I always thought their plan originally from WrestleMania 34 into WrestleMania 35 was going to be Ronda and Charlotte. I did not foresee Becky becoming this big star the way she did, the way she broke out. And it's funny because I got into another debate, which I'll probably bring up later, about that. But after the punch from Nia Jax and that rise that happened in the fall and winter of 2018 into the beginning of 2019, when it became undeniable that Becky Lynch had to be a part of that first ever women's main event, I very much was against Becky. I was rooting for Ronda, and literally, wow, let me finish. Damn, my whole relationship with Chrissy Love. Chrissy Love and me, we did not work together. She was not originally on the flagship podcast for True Heel Heat, but we went to a wrestling viewing party for the Royal Rumble in 2019, and we got into a whole back and forth argument because she was a big Becky Lynch fan. I was a big Ronda fan. So I'm like, Ronda's the real reason Big Woman's going to be in the main event. And she's like, well, Becky's the one that's been working so hard. She needs to be in the main event. And Top Guy JJ saw that back and forth, and he was the one that invited Chrissy to be on our podcast, and the rest is history. Chrissy's been our co-host over on True Heel Heat for the last 6 years. So Becky is an origin to like having, you know, one of the key members of my team, Chrissy Love. Like, that whole, my whole rivalry and being against Becky and rooting for Ronda against her caused, you know, one of the best parts of True Heel Heat, and one of the reasons why we've been so, you know, successful and been doing this podcast for as long as we've been doing it. Becky was the reason for that. And then it kind of transformed over time. I even just last year, I was saying that, oh, I thought that Sasha Banks and Mercedes Moné was just as big of a star or near as big of a star as Becky Lynch. And Jay Mack can go times today and always remind him he was right that Becky was the bigger star than Mercedes, because Mercedes didn't have that kind of impact the way that Becky did for like NXT, didn't have that kind of impact on the TV ratings that Mercedes did for AEW. So he's always like, I'm gonna clip all these episodes of AE Ramble and show Becky for all that she's always bigging you up for making her number one or put her on the list. I'm gonna show her you're not even a real Becky Lynch. That's why I popped when you posted the list last week and someone in the comments was like, is he paid? Is he paid to like Becky? Is Becky Lynch paying him? And I'm just like, no, this is me taking my bias out of it and just looking at the topic that I'm writing about in a fair and balanced situation. No, I'm not the biggest Becky Lynch fan, but I know her impact. I know what she's done, and I know the influence that she's had and the impact she's had on my career in wrestling media. So that's why she was number one on my list.
People get so stupid about those lists. I mean, I didn't read all of your mentions and everybody who wanted to argue with you about that stuff, because I'm sure it was hell. I did see, you know, Mae Young defenders in 2025. Like, what are we doing? But
Fabulous Moolah defenders.
Yeah, Fabulous Moolah. Sorry.
And then tried to gaslight me like, you're defending the sex of the traffickers. You watch WWE.
Yeah. Sorry. Fabulous Moolah defenders. No disrespect to Mae Young. My bad.
Her three matches though in WWE in her 70s is better than most women in their 20s apparently.
Yeah, people get so defensive about that stuff. It's like, dude, they're that's why I don't like doing lists, because I know people are just gonna be like, well, they're gonna argue with you no matter what. Like, there's no perfect list. There's just not, because everybody has a different opinion on this stuff. So they're gonna argue with you, and I just don't have the energy to argue with people. I don't have enough care to argue. Like, if you think Charlotte Flair should be number one, all right, sure. I that's your opinion on it. I think it's Becky Lynch. So, I don't know. Let's move on. Let's do something else with our lives.
No, it creates some fun conversation. Like, I had
it does. Someone, it does.
Yeah, like I had one of my friends, and once again, Jeremy, I think I told you this when I did the 20 greatest WWE wrestlers. Some people don't know my name. They really just know me as SVP.
Oh yeah.
So when they see that name in the article, despite you the gotta get picture being the same as my Twitter page, people legit. I had one of my friends that's been on True Hill Heat and stuff like that. He was like ripping it apart, being like, "This is my list, and I think I'm more accurate than this one." I was like, "God damn, you're burying me." He was like, he hits me up on the DMs. He's like, "Dude, I did not even know that was your name."
You gotta.
It pops me every time. That's like,
you gotta get it changed to SP3 on the byline. It can't be Sid Puller third. Nobody knows that. No one knows.
It's very true. It pops me every time. I'm sorry. It always does.
All right. So CM Punk, as we circle back around to our original topic here. What do you make of them doing a steel cage match next week to most likely set up Roman Reigns coming in at WrestleMania?
I like it. I think that, and I agree with what you said. Like, after the segment last night, that brawl was so intense. It was like Steam Generico meets Peter Griffin and the Chicken just going at it. The heat, the crowd added to it so much. Everything like checked the boxes for this pull apart brawl. And Triple H does rely heavily on pull apart brawls ever since he really took over the main roster creative in 2022. You could kind of like, you could pinpoint like a bunch of pull apart brawls that he's done, but this was one of the better ones because it didn't matter how many people was out there. They could not keep them apart. You felt the hatred. You felt the intensity. It was palpable. It just going at it every single time, being separated and then coming at it again, then brawling in the crowd. For me, that was watching internationally, that didn't get the ad breaks, I got to experience the whole thing. And like, it was going on during the ad break and stuff like that. It was just so fantastic. All of that. It really felt like after that segment, it was like, this could be your night one main event. Like, this could be your night one main event easily. But I like, as soon as they announced the steel cage match for Madison Square Garden, it makes sense. You want to sell out that Madison Square Garden show. You want to make that show as big as possible, because that is one of that's your like second to last episode before WrestleMania. Because on the 17th starts the European tour, which you're doing like 3-4 weeks in Europe. And then you have one or two Raw episodes in the U.S. before you get to WrestleMania. But like, you had to make that Madison Square Garden show, because it's very rare they're in Madison Square Garden before WrestleMania. So you want to make that as big as humanly possible. And that's a big time main event to put on that show. But as soon as it was announced, immediately was like, Roman's coming back next week. I was like, Roman's coming back next week. And my friend, when I said that, he was like, Roman's not going to climb over the steel cage. I was like, no, he's going to have the door open for him. I was like, Jade Cargill literally made the referees not close the door in the elimination chamber. You're telling me these referees ain't going to open up for the OTC? He's going to come in here. he's going to probably destroy both guys, or probably go for Seth and hit Punk instead, and maybe give Seth the win by accident or something like that. I can see it either which way, but we're really going to get the setup for this triple threat match next week. I'm looking forward to the steel cage matchup. I'm hoping there's a winner and not like a no contest steel cage where Roman just beats up both guys. But I think that regardless of how people say, I know there's people online, and probably what you're feeling by the way you asked the question, that Roman's not needed for this. Roman is what makes this the night one main event. It's not Punk and Seth. It would be great. I think that it would be the night one main event because of how intense and how hot it felt after last night's segment. But Roman is the cherry on top that solidifies it's probably the night one main event.
So I don't want to necessarily say Roman's not needed, because it's Roman Reigns and he is still a central figure in all of this stuff. I do think the feud is hot enough to where Roman isn't necessary to add. All of that said, you add Roman Reigns to this, it's going to heat it up even more. Now, is it going to heat it up to be the night one main event? I think it probably will end up being that way. I don't love, if it's not for a title, that it's the night one main event. I think that Bianca and Io, or Bianca, Io, and Rhea should probably get that spot. I don't love that both of the Rumble winners wouldn't get a main event, because I think that takes away from every year they tell us, oh, they're going to main event WrestleMania. Well, you got two nights to main event WrestleMania, and neither of them got the main event of WrestleMania. So don't love that either. So I'm not fully sold that it will main event. I do think it'll probably be the second hottest feud behind Cena and Cody going into it. And so in that respect, it probably will be the main event. Here's my kind of pitch on things. Punk's got this favor. I think they kind of get out of this favor by Roman Reigns returning and helping CM Punk. Helping Punk in this match. Maybe it's one of those deals where Rollins about to escape through the door, slams the cage on his head, Punk finishes him off. And in Roman's mind, now I'm not saying like that's the end of the favor. In Roman's mind, he's like, that was your favor. You don't associate with Paul anymore. You don't talk to Paul anymore.
That's my wise man.
Yeah, he's not your advocate. He's not your manager. He's not your mouthpiece. He's my wise man. So in Roman's mind, that's the favor. Now you can always circle back and Paul could screw Roman at WrestleMania, or Punk could get his favor still, and that could lead to the tension between Roman and Paul of, well, that wasn't really the favor, you know, that was something you decided to do because of your hatred of Seth Rollins, but I still owe him something. Like, he still did this favor for us. I still owe him something. So I think that's, I don't know if that's how they're gonna play it. That's my kind of idea in my head of how they could play things, because I do think Roman has to get involved in this match, because you got to get Roman inserted sooner rather than later to heat things up going into WrestleMania. And I don't know how else you get out of this if it's just a straight winner. And I think Seth should win, by the way, if you just do no interference, because he lost on Netflix. He got pinned in the chamber. He got eliminated by Punk at Royal Rumble. Like, Punk's gotten the one up on him three turns.
Every turn, yeah. Pretty much.
So like Seth, if he's not going to get screwed over by Roman, he should probably get this victory over Punk. And maybe like Seth escaping the cage doesn't make a ton of sense for either character. Like either guy escaping the cage doesn't make a ton of sense. Like why are they trying to run to get the victory? They hate each other so much that running to get the win makes absolutely no sense. They would want to stay there and beat the shit out of their opponent even more. So yeah, if they're going to do a victor with no Roman interference, I think it should be Seth. If Roman's going to come down, him going after Seth makes the most sense because Seth was the one that also took him out. And Roman, even after the Rumble, where he and Punk are looking at each other like, we worked together. What are you doing? Why'd you eliminate me? Like, we worked together at Survivor Series. And then Seth stomps him. So Roman has to go after Seth. But if Roman's not there, Seth should win. That's where I'm at.
So what do you think about the argument that I've been hearing online since last night and because of how electric, because like I said, fantastic promo by Punk addressing Cena and The Rock. What do you think about the possibility of the favor being Punk being inserted into Cody versus John Cena, or they do 2024 all over again, and they do Cody and Punk versus Rock and Cena on night one before Cena and Cody on night two?
I don't think Rock's wrestling. I don't. I think if he was wrestling, they would have gone in a completely different direction. Rock's filming a movie. I'm sure there's some securities and clauses in there to where he can't get hurt or risk getting hurt on these things. I know Cena's also filming a movie, but Cena made it very clear in July of last year that he was taking all, like he was wrapping everything so we could wrestle full time or as full time as possible throughout the end of the year. I think Rock has too much to film to where he's not wrestling at all. And that's why they're doing this whole thing with Cena. So I don't think they're going to do the night one leads to night two type of main event, because I don't think Rock is wrestling at all. As far as Punk getting inserted and that being the favor, then I'm like, I still circle back to Roman. Why isn't Roman getting in there?
Yeah.
Roman's got history with all these guys.
That's my one big caveat of that, because I know like most of this discussion or even bringing it up that the favor is going to be Punk being inserted into Cody and Cena is coming from the CM Punk fandom, the CM Punk stands. They really want Punk to get his WrestleMania main event this year. Punk did say that in his promo that he still hasn't exhausted all his possibilities of main eventing WrestleMania. And I think that's it's coming mostly from the Punk fans. It does make sense with the favor that has been set up for sure, but I think that it convolutes things in a way that it doesn't need to. It needs to be Cena and Cody coming off of the heel turn. And it honestly, I'll say it here, I'll say it right now, Cena needs to win at WrestleMania. You can't, like, literally, you can't do this, WWE. You can't do John Cena with this all-time great heel turn at Elimination Chamber, and then he loses in his bid for number 17 at WrestleMania. That would be the equivalent of the Giant beating Hollywood Hulk Hogan at Hog Wild 1996. Don't do it. That didn't happen then. It doesn't need to happen now. You need to solidify this heel turn being something that is landscape shifting, and it leads to Cena becoming the greatest world champion of all time by winning number 17 at WrestleMania. So it just needs to be Cena versus Cody. It doesn't need anybody else involved in it, in my opinion.
So this leads to my hot take for the week, for Hot Take Tuesday. John Cena is not going to win his 17th world title this year. And I'll tell you why, SP3. I have a reason for this hot take. This is not just me being a contrarian. I have a valid reason, in my mind, valid reason. How do you win all of these 16 titles? By never giving up, through hustle, loyalty, and respect. Now he's turned. Now he's sold his soul. It's going to show you that you don't need to sell your soul to break the record. You don't need to give in to evil, EVIL, to win the 17th title. if he just stayed the course and he stayed hustle, loyalty, respect, John Cena, he would have done it. He would have gotten 17. But because he went down this path of evil, he's not going to do it. He's going to fail. Good is going to prevail. Cody Rhodes is going to prevail. Whoever else John Cena faces, they are going to prevail. Because evil does not win.
You just set me up to be calling Triple H flawed Paul again. Like I'm starting to give Triple H credit again, and you're gonna say that if that happens, that is awful. That's an awful way to follow up one of the greatest heel turns of all time, is having him.
So here's WrestleMania. I agree with you. I do think John Cena should win at WrestleMania. I do think it's very dumb to do all of this and not have him win the title. You know, hot take is takes you don't fully always maybe believe in. You just throw shit out there. But yeah. I do think my premise is actually not.
No, false. It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. That's why I'm upset. Is that it makes sense. It is in the realm of possibility of what WWE would do. Because, like, once I saw the heel turn, that was the little inkling in the back of my mind. I was like, what if they actually had Cody just overcome the odds and still win at WrestleMania? Oh my God, that would suck. Let me just go. Like, no, they have to go with the two-man power trip, the two-man Hollywood power trip, please. Pull the trigger. You have to go all the way with this. But yeah, I think what we're kind of seeing on the same page here as far as like Cena and Cody, or whatever Cena and Cody are going to be involved in, that's the night two main event. And Punk, Rollins, and Roman seems like it's hot enough to be the night one main event. You did mention, you know, another option here. So that brings us to another big moment on last night's show. Maybe as big of a moment. It actually made Jeremy tell Joel to consider changing the thumbnail, because I was as shocked as you were in our private chat. Absolutely, because Io Sky is the new WWE Women's World Champion. And it's very funny because I believe it was Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live said that he heard the rumor going around was there was going to be a lot of twists and turns on the road to WrestleMania, and the stuff that you thought you would see coming out of Elimination Chamber, they were going to flip that on his head, and they did it immediately. They did it with the finish of last night with Io and Rhea. I thought that, you know, if we were going to get a triple threat matchup, it probably would be like a non-finish or Bianca getting involved. And I love the way they laid it out, that they teased that. They teased the count-out finish for Io, and then Bianca rooting her on, telling her to get back in, and she got back in the ring. And then Rhea Ripley, I was pissed off. I'll be honest with you. Watching this and being a fan of Rhea Ripley, I was like, why are you so insecure? Why are you so insecure? Why are you so distracted that Bianca cheered for Io? Oh my God. And I thought that, and then when she gets back in the ring and she's like, I'll see you at WrestleMania. And then it gets reversed into the Hurricane Rana. I'm like, oh my God, Io's about to win. She hits the over the moonsault. 1, 2, 3. I was like, yo, they did it. They actually did it. I denied for so long how much Triple H loves Io Sky. If I questioned for so long if Triple H really knew what he had in Io Sky, who I think is one of the best in-ring workers in the world, regardless of gender. I think Io Sky just brings it. She's had to slow it down a bit and cut back on her moveset being in WWE. But I feel like throughout the last 12 months, she's really found her stride, especially on the main roster, and just delivered time in and time out, whether it was that matchup with Bianca Belair on Monday Night Raw last year, whether it was the tag team matches with her and Dakota stealing the show, and just a couple of weeks ago with Liv and Raquel. And I thought that this match here was probably Rhea Ripley's best match in months, probably her best match since SummerSlam with Liv Morgan. I think that this match was even better, even though I thought that the opening of the matchup was very clunky, and you could tell that Rhea was very rusty, because Io was her usual smooth, fluid, fast-paced self in the ring, and Rhea was really, really kind of messing up and very clunky and dropping her on, like, catching her on the Hurricane Rana and stuff like that. But once they got past the ad break, for you guys, I got to see it kind of coming together. But once it came back from the ad break, I thought the match was very strong. It was very damn good. Great finish to the matchup, even with my issues with Rhea kind of being this insecure and easily distracted dumb baby face in the end with the whole Bianca stuff. They paid that off, and they made me be like, okay, maybe this was the right decision, because my God, that promo that they posted up with Rhea Ripley after Monday Night Raw is the best promo of her career. Hers being like that she's been isolated for so long, and she thought that she was making friends. She lost the Judgment Day. She lost Damian Priest, who went over to SmackDown, and she's been the Women's World Champion, and she thought that she made friends when she teamed up with these women in War Games in November. So she thought she was friends with Io Sky. So she felt bad for interfering in her money in her Elimination Chamber qualifying matchup and costing it a match. So that's why she gave her the title opportunity. She thought that she was Bianca Belair's friend. They've been friends for all these years and always said that is their WrestleMania dream match, and Rhea always said that. But to have Bianca basically cheering for her opponent, not wanting to face her at WrestleMania, that triggered her so much that she became distracted, and everything that she worked so hard from was taken away from her. This is the character work I've been wanting from Rhea Ripley. I thought that Rhea Ripley getting back the world title was just a regression for her in going the opposite direction of what we were leading last summer, but they brought it back, and they brought the storytelling, and they let Rhea Ripley kind of expand and stretch her character legs for once, and I think that it's going to make for a much better build to what I think is going to be another triple threat matchup. But I think that one, the EO, Bianca, and Rhea potential triple threat, that's your night two opener.
Oh, night two opener. Okay.
See, you close night one with Roman, Punk, and Seth. You open night two with Bianca, EO, and Rhea.
I think it should be the main event for reasons I've already laid out previously. But I understand if it isn't and they do go with Roman, Seth, and Punk. Like, I was shocked that EO got the victory. I almost made Joel change the thumbnail, but he's running from the grind, so he didn't do it anyway. I like the match. I like the finish, and I really like the post promo that Rhea did, because it helped tie up of like, yeah, why are you so concerned here with what Bianca is doing? Just focus on your opponent. You look kind of dumb just being mad that she's cheering for EO. Like, just go in there and beat her. Like, it looked like a dumb distraction finish and throwing her off her game. But her promo, again, gave it a justified reason in her mind of why she did it. And so it didn't take away from EO's victory, obviously. And it helped further the character of Rhea Ripley, which is good. We'll see how Rhea gets herself in this mix now. Because right now, Bianca's still got some unfinished business with Jade Cargill. We're going to get some type of answers with that on Friday. Like, I don't know if Bianca was part of the attack or not, but she's still adjacent to the story with Naomi and Jade. So how do they transition her out of that story and into a full story with Io Sky? Where does Rhea fit in trying to get into a triple threat match here? Like, Rhea's got to get some wins, I would imagine. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for her to just be like, well, this is my rematch, put me in there. That feels a little weak of like, oh, you're just going to use your rematch clause to get into there. So I'm very curious of how they get Rhea into a triple threat match. And I'll throw this out there. I'm not sold it's going to be a triple threat match between EO, Bianca, and Rhea. I think it could just be EO and Bianca. And you know who Rhea faces?
Who?
Dominic Mysterio.
No, I'm good.
With a one-on-one match between Dom and Rhea, we finally get it. after all those teases, because she needs to go back. She still inserts herself into all this Judgment Day business. She has some built up anger and still some stuff she can't let go. You know, she has some stuff she can't let go with Judgment Day. I don't need to see Rhea and Liv again. I don't need to see Rhea and Raquel. That's for sure. But Rhea and Dom feels like she needs to resolve some anger towards Dom. So the only way to resolve that by punching him in the face at WrestleMania. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just spitballing. Yeah,
I know. I'm over it. I'm over Rhea and the Judgment Day. I think that she needs to move on. I think we finally got her onto a good character that isn't reliant on the Judgment Day, whether it be the feud or whether it be them propping her up when she was in the group. I think that we can have her mix it up with two of the best women on the roster. These are the three very best women on the WWE roster going at it. This feels like a big time WrestleMania main event. So that is why I'm good with that triple threat. I do agree with you. They have to figure out a creative way to get Rhea inserted into here, whether it be, you know, Bianca and Io being like their baby faces and they're going to let her in, or they push to get her in because she lays both of them out or something like that. They can figure out a way to do it. I think, in my opinion, I'm going to have faith in Paul. He's got my optimism right now, and I'm going to give him my faith that he's going to figure out a way to make this happen, because this could go down as probably arguably the greatest women's match in WrestleMania history. It could top Bianca versus Sasha, or Bianca versus Becky, or Charlotte versus Rhea, because Io Sky is one of the very best wrestlers in the world. Bianca Belair is an overall superstar who just has the great look, the good character, and she's a great babyface, but can also become a great heel once again, like she was in NXT. And Rhea Ripley finally has some depth to her character, and she's been one of the most, probably top three most over superstars in all of the WWE throughout the past 12 months. This feels huge. So I think that's what needs to happen. And I know there's people that's arguing that could be the night one main event. And I'm not going to argue against y'all if y'all feel that way. I just think that Punk and Seth rivalry right now is hotter. And you add Roman to it, it's only going to get hotter. So that is going to be the second biggest feud going into WrestleMania season. But I understand probably by the time the bell rings, or the second bell rings with Io, Bianca, and Rhea, that might be the best match on the entire WrestleMania card. I think that could be better than Punk, Seth, and Roman. That could be definitely better than Cody versus Cena. I think that could deliver on a very high level. That's why I would have that open up night two. Unfortunately, yes, I did also see in the chat, I don't see the Rumble winners headlining either night of WrestleMania. And because I said it last week, I will say it again, because nothing changed on this show. Jay versus Gunther feels ridiculously mid-card at this point, because they literally followed that hot segment with Punk and Seth that opened the show, that had the crowd on his feet, with Gunther facing Otis and beating up Kira Tozawa of Alpha Academy. Then Jake came out and beat up Gunther. And then A-Town Down. You added A-Town Down Under. Yeah, that's definitely going to make it feel like a main event now. A-Town Down Under is involved in this rivalry now. This feels like a mid-card title feud. Like, there's nothing questioning this anymore. I will have no type of debate with anybody that WWE is not booking this like it's a mid-card title feud, because they are. And this is me also saying this while they're doing this. Gunther and Jay are putting on some of their best promo work in the midst of this. But yeah, how WWE is presenting this story, it's very mid-card.
Yeah. The stuff with Gunther and Jay is great. Like, I don't need these Gunther matches against Tozawa and Otis. Like, they're fine matches. And Tozawa and Otis are good performers. The crowd really loves Otis. But all you've told us for years about these dudes, they're just a bunch of losers. So why are they, like, testing Gunther at all? Like, it's weird that they went this route when Gunther and Jay have done so much good work on the microphone and in like fights and brawls and everything like that. Like they've done really good work.
They're five for five yeah. on good segments.
I wish like, I know Jay's wrestling Grayson Waller next week. I wish that Jay was having the kind of longer matches so Gunther can continue to point out like you're not ready. And Gunther was just like running through fools of like, look, dude, mid-carders like you, easy work, light work. This is nothing for me. And then Jay is struggling, but obviously still winning. I wouldn't do like a 50-50 match or anything like that. But there would be moments of weakness for Jay. So there can be those moments of doubts for Jay. And Gunther can continue to prey on that and play on that. Because the promo work they've done has been fantastic. But yeah, Gunther just aligning himself, not aligning, but inserting himself into Alpha Academy stuff is like, this is really what we're doing. And you're struggling a little bit with these guys. You should beat these dudes in like 30 seconds. And that should be that. Oh. I did love Jay's promo last night, though. The backstage promo. The best part about that was, I think it was Jackie. He's like, and there he goes into the cold of wherever the hell they were without a shirt on.
Buffalo. Yeah, without a shirt on. Buffalo is cold as crap. Yeah. I will tell you that. I used to spend holidays in Buffalo because my sister's ex-husband's family lived out in Buffalo. It is cold as crap. His nipples was hard like three steps into the cold.
He just walks out there without a shirt on. I hope that like once they cut back, Jay immediately runs back inside. He's like, shit, it's cold as hell out there. Why didn't y'all tell me none of this? Like, that doesn't matter. It's a good shot, Jay. It was a good shot. A couple super chats from Ryan Adams, who says EO going into the Mania as champ back to back years. And maybe Rhea says EO should have been disqualified because Bianca shoved Rhea. I don't love that explanation. That makes Rhea look like kind of a bitch. And she should still be presented as like a strong woman because she is like she's doubting herself a little bit right now, which is fine, but she shouldn't like be complaining of, oh, you should have disqualified Bianca or you should have disqualified EO because she shoved me. I was like, you shouldn't have minded who the hell she cheered for, you dummy. That's your own fault. So yeah, I don't want that. I don't fully love that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's a good enough or creative enough reason to get Rhea in there. I think the simplest way is Rhea beats up both of them, lays them both out, and then they both as baby faces are like put Rhea into the matchup. That would be an easy way to do it. That would still get complaints from a lot of fans, to be honest. But I think that's the simplest way, but they can come up with probably something more creative than that.
Yeah, we'll see how they end up playing it. We shall see. Also on Raw, Chad Gable got a mystery box. What's in the box, SP3? He wields power that he even doesn't understand. What do we think
this is? I mean, Chad, let me just say, this was a great Lucha Underground skit.
Yeah, it really was. That's my best thoughts as well.
This is straight out of season 2 of Lucha Underground. That was probably Dario Cueto in old man makeup with a poncho on, who gave him the box, who hustled him for $500. I love that was the best part of the whole sick skit, is him being like, nope, more dinero. But I think that the safest assumption is that the box has a mass, and we're gonna get El Chadado Gabelo in WWE, and he's gonna come back in a mass, and he's gonna try to take down all the luchadors who have beaten him, whether it's Rey Mysterio, whether it's Dragon Lee, whether it's Penta. He's gonna take them all on, and it leads to Alpha. Excuse me, I was about to call him Alpha Academy. American Made versus Ray, probably Dragon Lee. I'm sorry, you might get left off. Ray Penta and Ray Phoenix at WrestleMania. Book it.
Oh, that's where you're going with this? Okay. All right. I don't mind that. I was not thinking that because they've made Alpha Academy, or I did it too. They made American Made just a bunch of losers. And I'm just like,
yo,
these dudes suck. I thought they both should have won last night. I thought Ivy should have won, and I thought American Made should have won. And Chad Gable could have come back, and they did what he asked. They got gold, and now he's like, yeah, we got our gold. Now we're going to go take down the Luchadors. I've got this power, and now we're going to use that power to take down the Luchadors. Instead, he's going to come back, and they're a bunch of losers, and he's going to be like, I guess just dismissive of like, it's fine. Don't worry about that. We're going to take down the Luchadors now. I've got the power. It's like, yeah, but you're just working with a bunch of losers now. Like, wasn't this your whole complaint with Alpha Academy, with Otis and Tozawa, that they were just dorks and losers? And here these guys are losing every match at every turn. Oh, I thought they should have won. I thought the story was better if they win. It's not like you're doing too much with Lyra as Intercontinental Champion. She's been losing. The War Raiders have been losing. Oh, I thought they both should have won last night.
I was not surprised, I'll be honest with you. I figured that they were not going to win this one. I like Lyra Valkyria getting consistent title defenses on Monday Night Raw. I thought the matches with Dakota Kai were really strong. Her match with Ivy now was solid last night. I thought her selling of the leg was brilliant. I thought she sold the leg like it was death. And Ivy Nile's ankle lock, which was basically like a single leg crab ankle lock at the same time, that was great. And it really sold me that she could have got the win there. But I had little doubt that Ivy Nile was not going to win the Intercontinental Championship. I thought Lyra would pick up the win and defend there, and especially because throughout the night we had Dakota Kai, we had Bayley all saying that they were coming for the Intercontinental Championship. So I think that we're going to get some type of multi-woman matchup for that title if it is going to make it onto the WrestleMania card. I could see her going against Dakota, Bayley, and Roxanne Perez in like a four-way or something like that, and probably Raquel, so probably a five-way. Raquel also said she's coming for the Intercontinental Championship as well, which makes me think we're not gonna get a WWE Women's Tag Team title match. I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, I think we're getting some type of multi-woman matchup for the IC title, so I wasn't surprised to see Lyra get the win there. And then with the tag team title match, yeah, I think that you could have done something where the Creeds got the win there, but I think that the War Raiders are the right team for right now, because I think eventually we're going to put those titles on the New Day, and then from the New Day, the Lucha Bros are probably going to beat them for the titles after WrestleMania.
So that leads to the next topic. Well, real quickly, anything else from Raw that you want to touch on?
No, that's pretty much it from Raw. Like I said, I thought this was a really good edition of Monday Night Raw. Arguably, probably my new favorite edition of Monday Night Raw. First, it was the January 13th edition because I had to get that bad taste out of my mouth from the premiere. So that was my first favorite. Then the next favorite was last week's Raw with the women's tag team title match. But this Raw had two big moments and everything else was solid throughout. So we only got one more thing to cover, and my hottest take as well, because Jeremy, I know you're going through it over there, so we might have to end the show early for you guys, but we covered everything, all the important notes from Monday Night Raw. If you want further in-depth review of Monday Night Raw, you can check me out on True Hill Heat. Me and Romeo will be going live at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time to talk about anything else from Monday Night Raw. Did want to mention, because I saw it in the chat, did you see the Jon Stewart comparison of the Oval Office meeting to John Cena's heel turn on Daily Show?
Did I not have my mic muted as I sneezed? I'm so sorry.
No, you did.
Oh,
you did. Okay. I can just tell from you muting and then going off screen.
Oh, no, I know. I know, but I know I was like coughing, and then I thought I muted it when I sneezed. I apologize if I try to mute myself. Sometimes I don't fully catch it. Yeah, I did see Jon Stewart. I wrote about it just before we came on air. But yeah, that was good. Jon Stewart, still a wrestling fan. He's got beef with he's aligned with John Cena, right? Was he along with Seth?
No, he cost John Cena the 16th.
Okay, yeah, he cost John Cena. Okay, yeah, yeah. I knew he was involved with John Cena with something. My brain couldn't remember like the exact story of if he was helping Cena or he was helping Seth.
SummerSlam 2015 when it was Seth versus Cena, title for title, U.S. title versus WWE championship. It was John Stewart who helped Seth get the win over Cena. And then the next night, Stewart explained that he didn't want Cena to tie Ric Flair. And they did the whole segment with Stewart, Flair, and then Cena came out and AA'd Stewart.
Okay. So, yeah, John Stewart, big wrestling fan. Never been a John Cena guy. John Stewart was right. He knew that John Cena was going to do this. All right, last topic. Rey Fénix was officially removed from the AEW roster page. He is now a free agent, and he will likely be headed to WWE. So the Fightful Select report says Rey Fénix is officially a free agent, but likely not for long. Fightful Select has confirmed that Rey Fénix is now a free agent. It was expected that Fénix could end up having months added to his AEW deal due to injury time, but Fénix is now gone from the company and eligible to sign anywhere. We're told that he's expected to sign with WWE imminently, and Fanatics have already begun preparing merchandise for him with creative coming up with ideas. So there you go with Fénix. Likely coming in to WWE, Penta is already there. Fénix coming there makes a lot of sense. I assume they'll get paired up in some way. You know, Penta's feuding with Ludwig Kaiser right now, and Pete Dunne's involved himself in that. Doesn't seem like Penta needs a whole lot of help with those guys. So you're gonna probably have to get the heels to get a little one up on them there. So Fénix coming in to make the save makes some sense, but you know, what do you make of this, SP3?
It's a long time coming, and it took a little too long in my eyes. I don't think that I was always against AEW adding injury time to Rey Fénix's contract, because if the guy wanted to go, you're only causing a bad perception upon you. And AEW has been losing the perception war for the better part of 3 years now, ever since Brawl Out, and how that all went down and how Tony Khan handled that really set a bad image for AEW. So when you are holding on to guys or not using guys and still keeping them under contract, it just causes more bad vibes, more bad perception for the company. So I wish that this could have been done earlier, but it is a better late than never type situation. I've been a fan of Rey Fénix since his days in Lucha Underground. He was one of the first stars that was really one of my favorites, because I thought he was like very, very thrilling in the ring. He had that arsenal and that high flying ability. And I thought that he was one of the best high flyers all the way back in the Lucha Underground days. And that rivalry with Mil Muertes that culminated in, I still say to this day, the greatest casket match in the history of pro wrestling, Grave Consequences from Lucha Underground. Go out of your way to see it if you haven't already. That matchup right there was the first like great Lucha Underground matchup to me that I was like, yo, Lucha Underground, I'm putting it on my end of year list. I'm putting this in my top 10 matches of the year. I remember that so well. So I've been a fan of him since then. I followed him over to Impact Wrestling, and him and Penta becoming one of the best tag teams over there. The independent scene, I got to see him in House of Glory, got to see him over here on the East Coast. I went all the way to, I think, like upstate New York to see Rey Fénix versus Kenny Omega back in 2018. Of course, he was a part of the excellent main event of All In, one of the most important shows ever. And then him being one of the day one guys in AEW. And AEW, of course, the stalwarts and the guys that get the most credit for the like being the guys from the very beginning are the Elite, the Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley. But Lucha Bros were like right behind those guys as a very important key factor, and they made AEW the tag team wrestling company with their rivalry with the Young Bucks. That ladder match that they had at All Out 2019, I was there live for. It's one of the greatest ladder matches that I ever been live for. Probably the only great, like, all-time great ladder match that I ever was live for, being, like, I think I was, like, in the third row, and I still remember it vividly. The Canadian Destroyer off the top of the ladder to Matt Jackson through the table, just electrifying. And then the Steel Cage match in 2021 was my match of the year. The Lucha Bros were such a phenomenal tag team together, and they put on great matches with, like, FTR and all these other teams as well, but their rivalry with the Young Bucks is what made tag team wrestling in All Elite Wrestling. So their impact on that company will not be forgotten. They can't be erased. Tony did not handle this whole situation with the Lucha Bros, letting people in the back know that they were leaving the company. And I would also put in fault, even though, you know, I just did all that praising of Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix and Penta did not handle that situation the best. I don't think they should have been talking all that mess or talking all that stuff and letting it be known the way they are. I think they should have just done their time under their contract and then leave when they wanted to leave, when their contract was up. And I think that all this situation could have been avoided on both ends. But I'm just happy that it's all over, and I'm happy I get to be a fan again of Rey Fénix, see him on my TV screen, but this time in WWE with Penta, where we can finally make this Raw tag team division worth a damn. Because there's been a couple of good matches with the Creeds and the War Raiders, and the War Raiders and Judgment Day had a great matchup, the rematch where JD McDonagh killed himself. But the Raw tag team division has been severely lacking and been behind both the NXT tag team division and the SmackDown tag team division since the beginning of 2025. This, adding a team like the Lucha Bros, is definitely going to elevate it up, in my opinion.
So also from Fightful Select, Fénix and Penta were both likely headed out of AEW last year, but their deals ended up being extended when the company heard they were negotiating with WWE. Beyond that, Fénix made some vague allegations about inhumane treatment that AEW denied privately but ignored publicly. Those we spoke to in the company expect that Fénix likely would have had to agree to a non-disparagement in order to get out of the deal. Fightful had spoken to sources that indicated in November that AEW was actually considering letting him out of his deal before those comments complicated things. Penta has also done his best to avoid trashing AEW in recent interviews, preferring not to talk about it. So don't expect them to now all of a sudden discuss the AEW inhumane treatment or anything like that. I know when Penta's been asked, he, as the report mentions, he's just basically sidestepped it and just said, like, you know, my time there is done. It's a chapter closed. Don't really want to talk about it. Looking forward to WWE. So I expect you'll get similar stuff from Fénix if he does any interviews. So there you go. Fénix will be coming in at some point, probably pretty soon, and we'll see where he's out of. See where he goes on and if he's on the WrestleMania card. I do like your idea of the trios match at WrestleMania with those three, Rey Mysterio being the third, and American Made, even though American Made are a bunch of losers and they'll lose that match too. So
they lose every match. That they were put together to lose matches. I do feel bad for Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee went to WWE because of a lack of luchadors, and then Andrade, Penta, and Rey Fénix all signed within the next 2 years. Damn, I feel bad for this dude because it still doesn't feel like he's gotten his footing underneath him. He's getting more of a focus now with the whole New Day rivalry, but man, I can't get over how
he got cut out of Mania last year for Andrade, and now you're gonna cut him out of Mania.
Damn, you're right. I didn't even remember that.
Maybe that's the gimmick. That's the gimmick for Dragon Lee. CM Punk wants to be the Mania main event. Dragon Lee just wants to be on the show. Like, 2 straight years, it looked like I secured my spot to be on WrestleMania. In 2 straight years, the week of the event, I was taken out. So now my goal, my only dream, is to just be on WrestleMania. I don't care if it's the first match, the second match, the third match. CM Punk, you can keep your main event. I just want to be on the show. That's all. All right, we got.
Please let me get on the show, please. That's what Dragon Lee's like. He's like on his hands and knees to Triple H, like, get me on the show, please.
We got hottest takes. I've already given mine. I've already filled in mine. SP3, what is your hottest take for the week?
My hottest take for the week is we got NXT tonight, which is going to be 1 week before Roadblock, where Moose will challenge for the NXT championship. I'm not going to say it's Moose, but I will say in 2025, a TNA superstar will win WWE championship gold.
It could be the Hardys.
Yeah, I also had that in the back of my head too. It might be the Hardys, but
I put WWE NXT. You are saying NXT, not just WWE. You're going just WWE like main roster.
No, I'm saying WWE championship go. NXT counts. It's okay. WWE. Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, some people, you know, don't always fully want to include NXT and all of that stuff.
Well,
I get it.
Well, WWE last night on the tail of the tape, they now are including the NXT Women's Championship in the women's title count for Io and Rhea. Although, if they did do that all across the board, that would mean Charlotte Flair is tied with John Cena and Ric Flair.
Yeah, sometimes they include Charlotte's NXT Championships and sometimes they don't. It's very weird when they want to include it, when they don't want to include it. So. All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here a little early. Apologies that we are leaving a little early, but I'm not feeling great. So I feel justified in leaving a little bit early. I'll hopefully be back tomorrow. We shall see. SP3, let them know where they can find you at.
You can find me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. You can follow the gang, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at TrueHillHeat. I will be live on the TrueHillHeat YouTube channel at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time with my good brother Romeo to break down last night's Monday Night Raw. And yes, I will be putting Romeo on trial for his misgivings in not giving me credit for calling John Cena's heel turn. Because he was on a whole watch along and didn't want to give me credit. He had Chase, the good brother Chase Oliver, was giving me all the credit in the world, and Romeo just sat there quiet, even though he tried to argue for Seth Rollins to be The Rock's corporate champion. So, yes, he's going to get roasted. Be there, 1:05 p.m. Eastern time.
I respect it. Thank you, as always, SP3. Thank you, everybody, in the chat. Again, guys, if you're listening on podcast platforms, leave us a good review over there. Leave us a 5-star review, not a good review. Leave us a 5-star review on all the podcast platforms. Thank you to everybody in the chat hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m., new episode of In the Weeds. Goodbye, everybody.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.